Hey, this is Karl-Heinz Stockhausen, and you're listening to Post Rock Paper Scissors. All right, welcome to Post Rock Paper Scissors. Armand here with our guest for today, Joseph Sanicandro, a writer of the Silent Ballet. And Joe came up with a two-part krautrock-related episode that we are going to venture off into part two today. We had part one a few weeks ago. And so, Joe, how's it been going in the last 2 weeks?
Great.
All right, so if you didn't listen to the first episode, Joe had a playlist about krautrock, and he mentioned a little bit about it. So Joe, for those listeners who maybe totally missed the first episode, give us a brief one or two liner about what krautrock is.
Sure. Basically, krautrock or Kosmische music describes, it's sort of an umbrella term for these artists that came out of Germany in the late 60s and 70s. And stylistically, they were very diverse, but they were all sort of reacting against British and American pop music and trying to come up with something that was distinctly German, but was also looking ahead. So they really relied heavily on the synthesizer, and as a result, developed very innovative music that still sounds, I think, incredibly novel today.
All right. So I should say, before we start talking about today's playlist, I should mention that if you didn't listen to part one, stop listening to this one and go listen to part one first, and then come to part two, because everything will sound a lot clearer then. Anyway, Joe, what's the track that we opened off today's show with?
Okay, that was Hollywood by Cluster, and that's Cluster with a C.
All right, so we heard a little bit about Cluster in the first part, so let us know again, in case we forgot over these last 2 weeks. It's been a long time.
All right, well, basically, the original incarnation of Cluster was Cluster with a K, and it included Mobius, Rodelius, and Conrad Schnitzler, who just passed away last month, August 4th. And after the first two albums, Schnitzler departed Cluster, so the other two musicians renamed the band Cluster with a C and went on to produce incredible music. And they're even still performing after a couple hiatuses here and there. They're still making music today.
Okay, so they have new releases coming out?
Yeah.
In these past few years? Oh, all right.
And actually, Schnitzler, before he passed away, I think, revived Cluster. So there were, for a period, both Clusters active again. I'm not sure who is involved. A lot of these bands, you know, these krautrock bands have sort of been rediscovered in the last decade or two, in part because of the internet, I think. And so it's the same thing with Faust, for instance. There's two Fausts out there, and it's a bit confusing.
Yeah, don't you find it interesting how bands or artists are kind of emerging from the 70s when they were completely kind of unheard of back then, but now, you know, people love them kind of. A perfect example outside of krautrock is Nick Drake.
Yeah.
Who no one really cared about back then. And now I think every year his album sells more than the year prior.
Yeah. So, although unfortunately Nick Drake's not around to see it.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, God bless these guys. I think also a lot of them did so many drugs that it took a few decades to sort of get their heads on straight and get back out there. As I mentioned last week, krautrock and cosmic music, you know, there's this sort of spaciness, space rock, and it shouldn't come as a surprise that a lot of these experiments were fueled by psychoactive drugs. So, which I also, you know, if you have any on hand, it wouldn't be a bad idea to take them before listening to this.
That's true. All right. So let's jump into this first block right here.
Okay.
So what's going to start us off?
All right. So we've got Watusi by Harmonia.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Armand here with our guest Joe, who curated today's podcast. So Joe, what did we play in that last block right there?
Okay, we started off with Watusi by Harmonia, a track from Music von Harmonia, their debut album. And that was followed by the Bunga, by Cluster and Eno. And that's, of course, Brian Eno. And then following that, we had Eno, Mobius, and Rodelius, which, confusingly enough, are the two members of Cluster. So after releasing a record or two with Brian Eno, they made another record called After the Heat, in which instead of identifying as Eno and Cluster, they just identified each of the three members by their actual surname. And After the Heat got Cluster / Mobius Rodelius a fair amount of critical acclaim, the first in their career. It really exposed them to a wider audience.
Even though this was 30 years before, I guess they pulled a Matthew Cooper right there, coming up with the same band with different names. It's always a pet peeve of mine. Anyway.
I should set up the rest and state that Harmonia is actually Cluster. So it's Hans-Joachim Rodelius and Dieter Mobius of Cluster with Michael Roter of Neu. So all these tracks, the whole playlist, you're going to see a lot of the same musicians shuffling around. So basically, Brian Eno was really inspired by what was going on in Germany. And if you look at his own output, I mean, his first real, No Pussyfooting with Robert Fripp from King Crimson was the first time that he used two tape delays to sort of as an instrument with Fripp, a technique that became known as Frippertronics, which is a really stupid word. But I guess Fripp wanted to really get his name out there. Brian Eno, of course, is famous not just as like a superstar producer, but also as the guy who coined the term ambient music. So even though he coined the term ambient music, he freely admits that there were other people out there doing this kind of music. So Ambient One, Music for Airports, was released in 1978, but he had been experimenting, with Fripp and others, Evening Star and No Pussyfooting, where he was experimenting with these techniques. So he was very interested in what was going on in Germany. And he produced two of David Bowie's albums, but became known as his Berlin period. Those albums are Low and Heroes. And if the only track you know off Heroes is Heroes, I'd say go check out that record, because it's one of the first examples of British pop music when you have prominent youth of synthesizers. And Low in particular, the second half of that album is just awesome, really atmospheric. And so he was really into what Cluster was doing, and then Harmonia. And he basically said that Harmonia was like the perfect ambient rock band, like what he wanted to see. So at this point, Rodelius and Mobius had left Berlin and were living in the country somewhere in a little house. And they were living with Michael Roter from Neu, and they started this band Harmonia. So Eno was in Germany to record the David Bowie's records, and he went and visited them. And in fact, I think I read somewhere that when they were starting the production, Bowie had to actually go and get him out of the farm to bring him back so they could start production on the album. So basically, he showed up with some DAT tapes, which were really expensive, and just jammed with these guys and recorded with them. And that resulted in an album called Tracks and Traces, which is attributed to Harmonia 76, but wasn't actually released until the 90s or 1997, because Eno had culled these tapes. But as we saw, he went on to work with Cluster without Michael Roter of Neu for a few albums under the name Cluster and Eno, as well as later another track we heard, which was Mobius and Rodelius.
All right. So during the previous episode, we mentioned that Popol Vuh did the score to a Herzog film.
Yep. Many of his they scored all of his films up until the death of Florian Fricke.
Oh, okay. So what year did The Wrath of God come out?
mid-70s, I think, early to mid-70s.
Yeah, the reason why I bring it up is because you mentioned that Ambient 1 came out in 77, you said? Or 78?
78. Okay. 78, yeah.
And that was the first time somebody used the word ambient, right? Or it was coined by, you know...
Yeah, I mean, obviously the word ambient existed, but like... but yeah, ambient music... I don't know if anyone else had used the term, but he is certainly credited with coining the term ambient music, in part because ambient music's liner notes came with this sort of essay on, you know...
Oh, okay. Yeah, my point being that Popol Vuh score for The Wrath of God was,
yeah,
from my recollection, essentially ambient music, from what I can remember. At least the part where I remember when he's on the raft towards the end of the movie and,
yeah,
you know, pretty much everyone's dead. Spoiler alert. But
you gotta say that before.
It's all right. It's all right.
Oh, okay. So it came out in 72. Yeah. So it was a lot.
Yeah. So there you go.
A lot earlier. Yeah. But like I said, I mean, No Pussyfooting was like 73. And anyway, Eno freely admits that he didn't create ambient music. Other people were doing this sort of thing. Maybe he sort of conceptualized it more, or he articulated that conceptualization, but he's not the only person who created it. And certainly these bands in Germany were on his mind when he makes statements like that, because they were a major influence on him. And I mean, Popol Vuh, like I said last week, are interesting because most of the music that they're known for is not electronic or synthesized music, but this sort of like new agey ethnic music. I mean, even the word Popol Vuh comes from like Mayan mysticism or something. It's like I don't remember, some Mayan thing. But they did start off as an improvisational synthesizer oriented band before key member Florian Fricke gave that synthesizer to Klaus Schulze. And I really think that experience of toying around with the synthesizer, even though he rejected it, influenced their approach to music and their aesthetics. Even though they're not using those instruments anymore, they are still producing this sort of music that's more concerned with narrative and texture, and that can just as easily be background music as be really deep and unfolding when you listen to it on its own. So perfect soundtrack music, and I think you see the influence of Popol Vuh in a lot of bands in post-rock and noise, and well, maybe not so much noise. But.
All right. So my second question was, and I don't know if you can really answer this, but you mentioned that they were big collaborators, I guess, Popol Vuh and Werner Herzog. And you can obviously tell from the playlist here that a lot of these artists collaborated with each other quite often. And I know Herzog collaborated with Klaus Kinski, you know, quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So is this like common amongst like a German art scene or something that there's so many people collaborating with one another? Or is this, I don't know if you, like I mentioned, I don't know if you can answer that question, kind of loaded question, but do you know anything about that?
Well, if I remember correctly, Kinski and Herzog and Fricke from Popol Vuh were all friends. Maybe they went to school together.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember exactly. But Fricke, I think, also went on to be a film critic, widely published film critic. And so he was obviously drawn to other mediums. And I think a lot of artists, you see an interest in multimedia. And a lot of these musicians, from Kraftwerk to Konrad Schnitzler, who figure so prominently in my two playlists, were either classically trained or went to art school. And so they were really interested in what was going on that was sort of cutting edge. So a lot of them were interested by the contemporary music, like Stockhausen, and also the art movement, like Beuys. And a lot of the art movement at the time, you know, Fluxus and sort of the birth of conceptual art and Josef Beuys, they were rooted in these sort of situations, these happenings. And I think that maybe something about that approach to art that was sort of prominent in the underground German scene at the time, and also with the politics, the communes. I mean, Emondul was literally a commune where people would jam. A lot of these bands came out of the scene in Berlin, out of this shared space. So yeah, I mean, I don't know how much collaboration was on their mind, or if it was just, you know, sort of a necessity. But I would wager that sort of communal spirit does come from a political and social place, and you see it again in Germany in the 90s, you know, after the wall fell in Berlin and the two halves of Germany were reunited. You saw a lot of communal squats. You saw a lot of music venues that were really important to the development of German electronic music and experimental music in general. And, yeah, I mean, these sorts of places are communally run. And you know, plus it was the 60s and 70s. Everyone was on drugs. And so it seems to me that it does run deep.
All right, sounds good. So we'll just jump into the second block right here. What's going to start us off here?
Okay, so we've got Prehistoric by Mobius and Planck. We'll be right back.
Alright, welcome back. Armand here with our guest Joe. So Joe, what are we playing that last block right there?
Well, we started off, that was Prehistoric by Mobius and Planck. It was off their album En Route. We've already heard a bit from both of those artists. Mobius is half of the duo Cluster, and Connie Planck, was a super producer who worked with a lot of great artists, including Tangerine Dream, and he produced the first several Kraftwerk records. So this is from En Route, which I think was released posthumously in 95, because Connie Planck died, it was like 1987 when they were recording it. And I included it because this was a record where you can see what they were working on in the mid-80s, and it's really starting to push towards the techno that you hear in Berlin in the early 90s. And so then that was followed by Temporal Shift Reaction by Temporal Marauder. And that track, or that artist in particular, the backstory is questionable. I'm sort of prone to think that the story that they've given is a hoax. Basically, there was a Belgian artist, Jean Le Garant, or something, who's the main artist performing, who allegedly is the artist behind this. And so the sort of the label that released this music claims that these tracks were recorded in the 70s by Jean and some others, and they were art students. They weren't intended to be released, but it sounds too contemporary, and it was just released this year. So basically they say that, you know, this guy found the tapes that sort of been inherited through an associate of Connie Planck. I forget his name. He was also an audio engineer. He's inherited these tapes from Le Garant. So I'm a bit skeptical. I think the whole thing might be a hoax. But in any case, what's interesting is, you know, and like, I'm not a music expert, so I can't say just by listening to it, like, oh, that's definitely a, you know, 1973 Surge synthesizer or a Buchla or whatever. But I can't identify the exact instruments, but the style sounds too contemporary for comfort, but what's interesting is that they are using all these sort of great analog synthesizers, and it's clear whether or not it was from the 70s or last year, it's coming out of the same tradition, and they're doing something really interesting with the same elements, which is what I thought was interesting, because, and more with the next track, you'll see, you know, you could see part of what I wanted to do with these two playlists is show this evolution, not just of the individual musicians who you see in so many of these bands, but how far-ranging their influence is. And you see the evolution from proto-industrial, noise, power electronics, drone music, ambient, dance music, you know, techno, minimal. You see all these things coming out of these sources and developing over time. And Temporal Marauder, whether or not it's actually from that period or is a sort of loving homage constructed recently, you see the same tools being used and sort of being pushed forward. So I thought it was worth, you know, throwing something that just came out and trying to make that, articulate that connection, that evolution.
All right. So we've got one track left in today's show. Before we jump into that, we'll get a little away from the krautrock for a few minutes, and I'll ask you, Joe, what are your favorite albums so far of 2011?
Well, I'm just about to return to the Silent Ballet. I haven't reviewed. I mean, I've been active with a few different things that have been published on TSB, but I haven't reviewed anything in a couple months because I was finishing my master's thesis and I was in Europe during the summer. So I've been listening to a lot of old music. I mean, things that stand out. Really enjoy the new Tim Hecker. Vladislav Delay has a couple new albums out this year. The Vladislav Delay Quartet. Phenomenal record. It includes Micah Vano from Pansonic and two other musicians, so it's a bit of a departure from his traditional music. He also released a more dubby, dancier album, and his house music persona, Luomo, just released a new album, Plus, which is awesome. What else? William Bennett from White House just released a new project called Cut Hands, which sort of is an extension of the direction that White House was moving in, but he integrates into that a lot of African, mostly I think Congolese rhythms from a sort of records he's collected over the years. Really interesting. That record's called Afro Noise One. And Bob Ostertag, who's an incredible musician, been releasing records for over 30 years now. Most of his back catalog is available on his website for free under a Creative Commons download. He was a major fixture in the downtown New York scene. He played with Anthony Braxton, John Zorn, Fred Frith, all these great characters from that scene. And Ostertag really stands out because he's the only person I could think of, and certainly the first, who was improvising on a modular synthesizer. He had a Surge that he constructed himself. And you know, these things don't have keyboards. They're just patches that you plug in. And he found a way to improvise on it. And then his later work is more sample-oriented, but he also has compositions that have been performed by the Kronos Quartet. Really great artist. He put out a new record, which is available for free on his website. It's called Motormouth. It's recorded entirely on a Buchla 200E synthesizer, which is the new version of the Buchla 200 synthesizer, which is one of the main synthesizers along with the ARP and the Moog in the 60s and 70s. So if you like some of the synth sounds that you've heard in this playlist, definitely go download that. Bob Ostertag, Motormouth. And and Liturgy. I've been really into Liturgy lately. They're a sort of self-described transcendental black metal band from Brooklyn. Their new album, Aesthetica, is incredible. It's rare that a metal album will really hold my attention these days, and those guys do it. So,
sounds great. So, how were your travels in throughout Europe, right?
Yeah, it was great. I was, last year, almost exactly a year ago, I released a 2-volume compilation of Italian experimental music. So on this trip, I spent a lot of time in Italy, and I met up with a lot of the artists and label owners who I've been working with over the last year or two. I went to the Tego Mago club. It was the 7th annual Tego Fest, which is on the coast in Tuscany, in Marina di Massi, and saw some great stuff there, including Remote Control, which is a project of Luca Sigurtà and Matteo Uggeri of Sparkle and Gray. And Luca plays in Harshcore. Basically, they steal sound from the television and manipulate it. Matteo does this in Ableton Live, while Luca creates an effects chain using junk electronics, tape player, and the visual from the television is projected behind them. And as the channels change, they manipulate the sort of feedback and noise to create a sort of statement on Italian television and television in general. It's been released as a 2-volume VHS compilation through Moriremo Tutti Records. That means Everybody Dies Records. And it features music by other artists, including Controlled Bleeding, sort of a legendary industrial group from New York, Maurizio Bianchi, who's a great noise artist from Italy, and many others, including an essay accompanying it by a famous Italian journalist, and it's worth checking out. And there's some other cool projects there. Some of our listeners might know the band Zoo, Zoo. Their album Carboniferous on Ipecac a couple years ago was really well received, sort of a bass, sax, and drum trio. So the sax player from Zoo has a new group. It's just drums and sax called Mumbu, which was awesome, and so many other artists that I can't remember. Heroin in Tahiti, they call themselves Surf Drone, so it's like drone music, but it incorporates surf rock guitar elements. I know that sounds weird, but their debut album's coming out on Boring Machines Records sometime this year, so keep an eye out for that. It's awesome. And I also spend a lot of time in Naples, and there's a really incredible scene in Naples. So I feel like I should shout out some of those guys. There's a venue called Perdi Temple, which is just really incredible, center of radical politics and philosophy. They have a bookstore, a record store, and they do live performances. And Aspirale, they're a really great band, sax and tape loops and drums. Two of the members from that group have a new project coming out. I can't remember the name, but that stuff is going to be great. Look out for that. And anyway, through my travels, I decided the compilations take too much effort to produce. So I'm still doing that, but I wanted to do something that would come out more often. So I've been inviting artists to create mixtapes of their influences, sort of do custom edits, custom mixes. The first one was just published by 3-6, and it's accompanied by a mini interview that I did. So keep an eye out on the Silent Ballet for that. It's going to be these mini interviews accompanied by these mixtapes. So the guys from Aspirale are going to produce one of those for me soon, and hopefully you can be exposed to a lot of this really great music coming out of Annapoli through that mix.
All right, sounds good. So we've got one track left. What's going to end off this show today?
This next track is Zug by Konrad Schnitzler, and it's been reshaped by Pohl. So Pohl is one of my favorite contemporary German artists. He, along with Basic Channel and Gas and a few others, really defines the sort of late 90s, early noughties minimal dub. And so this is a pretty cool record. I picked it up when I was in London this summer at Fonica Records, which is an amazing resource for electronic music and vinyl. They're sort of notorious for their pretentious employees. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure to pick good records. And they also have a lot of listening stations, which is great. And, you know, if you really miss those kind of record stores, it's a trip. So this was the Zug 12-inch that was recently released by M Equals Minimal, which is a new label out of Germany. And Konrad Schnitzler was involved in this because basically Schnitzler released tons of music over his career. He started off as a, collaborating with Cluster and Tangerine Dream and others, as we mentioned. But he went on to produce solo material. I think he's the kind of artist who really was destined to work alone. And as a result, he produced tons of tape, a lot of which was never released. He also created a sound library or sound archive. M Equals Minimal also released another record, I think, called Construct, where some of their artists on the label went back to the sound library and created new pieces out of it. But Zug is a bit different. It was originally released on an album in the 70s. I played a track on the last week's show called Underwater Church, and that was from an album called Ballet Statique, which was a re-release of an album from the 70s that was released in the 90s. So it's confusing because, you know, there's not a definitive discography. There are lots of re-releases, and a version of Zug, which means train in German, was released on that album and was also released in the 70s. But this album that was released is the original cut of Zug, 20-some-odd minutes, which was unreleased until now. And then the B-side includes two remixes, or what they call reshaping. So Pohl, who's one of my favorite sort of contemporary minimal dub German artists, reshaped this track by Schnitzler. And so I thought this was a good way to go out, because it's a Schnitzler song, but it's also very contemporary. Pohl is just a master of the sort of these dubs, and the high end is really turned up, so you hear the almost relentless cymbals and of course the sub bass. And so he transforms the track, makes it contemporary, but it just seems like such a great metaphor or example of German music in general, and the sort of music we've heard, which is tied to the past, is distinctly German, but is always looking ahead.
All right, sounds great. So, Joe, thanks for doing today's playlist and the whole two-part podcast.
No problem. It was a lot of fun. Thanks.
All right. So we'll jump into this last track. So, Joe, what's going to be the last track that's going to end off today's show?
Here is Konrad Schnitzler's Zug, reshaped by Pohl. Thank you.
We'll be right back.